Good evening, everyone. How are you tonight? For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob. It's a privilege to be able to share tonight. Let's pray before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you speak to us, Lord, and I pray that tonight that you'll speak to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on the screen, I'd like to show you two different pictures. The first is a picture of a flower. Now, this flower, I think it looks pretty magnificent. You can see the majestic, you know, the beautiful bluey-purpley colours in it. And in the middle, there's this white part. So that's my technical name for it, all right? But it's a nice flower, isn't it? And this is a summer flower, so those gardeners that have it growing in their garden would have it coming to bloom, I guess, very shortly, being summer. And this flower is called a delphinium flower. But there's one problem with this flower. Yes, it's vibrant, it's uplifting, but there's also a warning connected with it. If this flower was ingested, it's been known to kill dogs, animals and other human beings. So in fact, just 2 milligrams of this flower is enough to kill an adult. And that's because the toxins in this plant, they cause difficulty breathing, they slow your heart rate down, and they severely lower your blood pressure. So ladies, if you ever receive a bunch of these flowers, I'd be worried. Now, my next picture is of an oyster shell. It's pretty plain, it's pretty boring, especially from, you know, looking at the outside of it. And it seems as though it'd be quite worthless. But when this oyster shell is opened up, what do we find inside? We find a beautiful, valuable pearl. And blokes, from what I've been told, ladies like to receive pearls, not delphinium flowers, all right? Anyway, these two pictures, they give us a great example of how the outward appearance does not always show us what the inside is like. And today in our reading from Mark, we heard two Bible stories. The first story looked at the teachers of the law, who are also known as scribes. And I think that the teachers of the law that are referred to in this passage, they're a lot like the delphinium flower. And the second story that we heard refers to a widow. And she's a lot like the oyster shell. She mightn't have looked as attractive as the teachers of the law, but she certainly had a heart of gold. Now, before we look at tonight's passage, it's helpful to look at what had occurred previously in chapter 12. In verse 30, we see that Jesus had explained to the religious leaders that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbour as yourself. Putting this really, really simply, we're to love God and we're to love others. And in verse 38, Jesus, he starts by saying, watch out for the teachers of the law. Now, the teachers of the law, they were the professional interpreters of the religious law. They were some of the few people who could read, they could write, and as a result, they were responsible for copying, editing, and studying the sacred texts, so that they could then go and explain it to other people. So the first part of tonight's reading, we see that Jesus is warning his listeners that some of the teachers of the law, they use their skills to gain power over others, so they can try and elevate their status or their position in society. And in verse 38, we read how the teachers of the law, they like to walk around in long, flowing robes. And if you were to wear one of these long, flowing robes, the robe that would have just swept along the ground as you walked along, you wouldn't have been able to move very fast, it probably would have tripped you up. And these robes, they indicated that you're of a higher class. And therefore, the people, they respected you because you had more influence because of your status. So when the teachers of the law, when they walked through the marketplace wearing these wonderful robes, they would have drawn attention to themselves, to the teachers of the law. And as a result, people would have greeted them with respect as they walked through the marketplace. And in verse 39, we read that when the teachers of the law were at the synagogue, they liked to sit up the front where they could be seen by everybody, in front of where the sacred texts were in the Ark of the Covenant, facing everybody else, so that everyone could see them. There was no way that the teachers of the law could be missed. They were sitting there in full view where everyone saw them. But we also read in verse 40 that the teachers of the law, they devoured the widows' houses and for a show made lengthy prayers. So this doesn't mean that the teachers of the law, they went around and ate the widows' houses. Their teeth weren't that strong. But the widows, they were vulnerable. And some of the teachers of the law, they would exploit them along with other people. And they would cheat them out of everything that they owned. And Josephus is a historian, and he records that some religious leaders would even use henchmen to go around and extort funds from other people. So Jesus, he finally criticises the teachers for their long prayers. The prayers, they were offered not so much to God, but to those that were present, listening. And it's because of their actions that Jesus exposed the teachers of the law for making themselves look good, for being insincere. Jesus calls their intentions into question, and he accuses them of unethical practices. These guys, they were hypocrites. Their outward appearance, their actions that the people saw, was not a true reflection of what their heart was like. These guys, they weren't obeying the greatest commandment that Jesus had just finished talking about a few verses earlier, which is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. So it's no wonder that Jesus concludes in verse 40 by saying, such men will be punished most severely. But unfortunately, the actions of the teachers of the law, they're still evident within our society today. There are those that love the red carpet. There are those that love to receive recognition for the generous things that they have done, for the time that they've volunteered. There are those that love to be up front in front of other people. And I'm sure that there are some who enjoy wearing those nicely, finely tailored suits, dresses and fancy shoes. Now, these are temptations that we can all face today. And for Greg, Trev, myself and everyone else that's involved up the front here during the Sunday services, there's a temptation that we can turn religion into a show. So we all need to ask ourselves and ask each other, do we want to be like the teachers of the law and want a religion that is comfortable, that makes us feel good, that makes us feel important, that makes us feel needed? Or do we want to live in a relationship with Jesus where we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and all our strength, and we love our neighbours as ourselves? And if that is what we want, then our actions will match what we believe. Our outward appearance will be a true reflection of our hearts, as we will love God and we will love others. Now, before we continue, I'd like to say that not all of the religious leaders in Jesus' day were guilty of living like these people that Jesus is referring to here in Mark. And that applies for ministers today as well. There's a great example in chapter 12, verse 34, of a religious leader who had a conversation with Jesus, and we see that he realised that true obedience comes from the heart. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus taught his disciples that whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And we also read in the Gospels, as we look at Jesus' life, that his life was dramatically different to the teachers of the law. He dressed in a way that didn't draw attention to himself. And there are many examples of where Jesus, he served the needy and those that he met along the way. And Jesus also taught that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we can see that is exactly what Jesus did, as Jesus, he died in our place. And 3 days later was raised back to life so that we can be forgiven and live for eternity with him. Now, the teachers of the law, they had an opportunity to know God. They had an opportunity to point other people to God. But instead, they pointed them to themselves. And a good question that we can all think about is, how do we not end up like the teachers of the law that Jesus is talking about here? And we find the answer to that question in verses 41 to 44. The story of the poor widow who gave all that she has. In verse 42, we read how this poor widow, she placed just 2 small coins into the temple treasury. These 2 coins, they are her offering. Now, in the temple, there was like 13 trumpet-shaped containers lined up on the wall over there. And people would go along and they'd place their offering into the temple treasury, which was those trumpet-shaped containers. And they were made out of a metal, so you can imagine everyone going up and putting their coins in. They'd make a lot of noise. But Jesus, he saw this widow come up and place her two coins in. These two coins were the smallest of coins that circulated in those days, and they were called a lepton. And they wouldn't have made much noise as they were placed into the temple treasury. And we can see that Jesus was impressed by what the widow put in. As we read that in verses 43 to 44, it says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on. This widow, she put in everything. She put in all the money that she had. She put in her savings. There was nothing left over. Yes, she could have kept one of those coins to pay her rent or to buy her next meal or even to go towards buying the next pair of shoes that she needed. But instead, this lady placed the two coins in the offering. And in doing this, she was taking a huge step of faith as she was demonstrating that she totally trusted God to provide for her needs. And from her actions, we gain a glimpse of what her heart was like. This lady, she loved God with all of her heart, with all of her soul, with all of her mind, and with all of her strength. And this passage, it challenges us to think about how much money we put into our tithes, how much money we give back to God, how much we keep for ourselves to buy the things that we want. But there's another challenge there for us. As Jesus challenges our faith by using this widow as an example of someone who completely relied on God, her actions were a true reflection of what her heart was like. So the first challenge for each of us tonight is do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you? And if you do believe, do you trust that God will supply all of your needs? Tonight we've looked at two examples. The first is of the teachers of the law, and I use the example of the delphinium flower to represent these guys. And the second example is of the widow, and I use the picture of the oyster to represent her. And for each of us, regardless of our place in society or our role in the church, we can either be like the corrupt teachers of the law and totally miss the mark, or we can be like the widow, a person of radical faith. The widow, she didn't seek power over anyone. She didn't try to better a situation. With her small gift, she trusted God and gave everything that she had back to him. God, he looks at our hearts and he knows what motivates us. And we're called to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And the second challenge for us is, do we do this? Are our words and actions a true reflection of our heart? And as you look at the two pictures on the screen, we see the delphinium flower and the oyster shell. And my closing question for each of us tonight is, which image best represents you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to love you like the poor widow did. Help us to have hearts like the widow did, so that we can love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Continue, God, to work in our lives to make us more like you. Help us to put aside the things that we want so that we can live lives that are totally sold out to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.